I'm excited you were here. And I grabbed your hand and pulled them down to this altar.
My dance is a weapon. let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Jesus, we can feel that you are here right now, changing us and moving around us and touching our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to us. on, sing that again.
You know, sometimes we forget that even the desire that we have has been given to us by God. You know, this morning in my time of prayer, that's what I was praying for. God, I want an increased hunger for your word, an increased hunger to be in your presence. You see, even that hunger comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of us think we can just tell God what we want, when we want, how we want. That's just not true. It comes from the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And when you're singing this song, what you're doing is you're positioning yourself and saying, Lord, I want more. And I want you to know that he will always give you more if you ask. It's his nature. But you've got to want more. So I want to sing that just one more time, just that chorus portion. And I don't want you to sing to me. I don't want you to, listen, if you can't sing at all, still sing. And I want you to sing to Jesus. Just start asking him to increase your palate. Increase your spiritual hunger. Increase your desire for him. And I want you to know God's going to do it in your life. If you mean it from your heart, he wants you more than you want him. So let's sing to him this morning. Let's sing this portion of the chorus. Come on, sing to Jesus.
We want you more.
worship you this morning, Jesus. We worship you this morning, Jesus. It's the key right there. That's the key right there. God's healing somebody this morning. I don't understand it, so I'm just going to describe it. It's on your right hand, your pinky finger, and the finger next to it. The very ends of your fingers get hot. And I don't know what the cause or the reason or the purpose, but God wants you to know this morning that He loves you. And that even something's insignificant to everybody else in the room, that you are important to Him. So this morning, Father, I release healing right now into that portion of the body, and I command the hand and the cause right now to be made whole. Lord, if there's disease, we curse it in Jesus' name. We command it to come out of the body. Disease, go. Go. In Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. In Jesus, today we love you, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Why don't we take a few moments on your way back to your chair? Why don't you welcome some folks? Meet somebody you don't know. What happens is we all end up going to people we do know. Go find somebody you don't know this morning. Shake their hand and say, good morning. You look just absolutely marvelous today. Come on now, you have 2 minutes. Come on, meet somebody. Say hi to somebody. Greet somebody today. Small group leaders, this is your opportunity to invite people. Group leaders, invite people this morning.
There are some things in life you just can't do alone. Like running a worship set. Getting a root canal. Getting stuck in traffic.
Ashley, come on!
Starting a flash mob. Trust fall.
One, two.
Join a group today. Go to histabernacle.com/groups.
Hey everyone, we want to let you know about some changes we're making to our Easter weekend. Due to unforeseen circumstances, we will no longer be having the helicopter drop, but we'll be having an 80-foot crane that's going to be dropping the eggs. That's weird. Anyway, March 31st, Easter egg drop. It's going to be from 10 to 12. We're going to have up to 15,000 eggs. Bring your kids out, invite your family. We're also going to have bounce houses, but we want to see you there.
Guess what? We're getting our first Step 3 class of the year. It's going to be evangelism starting April 3rd, which is going to be every single Tuesday for 8 weeks. I'm going to be the teacher. I'm so excited to be a part of this, and we will see you there.
Great news, the very first Uproar Partners Night is on April 6th. What is that? What does it look like? We know that the Word of God says, what you reap, you will sow. And what you do for somebody else, God will make happen for you. So what's happening this year is we're giving you the opportunity to come hear a word from Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. And if you've partnered with us in the past or are interested in doing it for the future, this is an open invitation for you. So April 6th at 6:30, we believe the power of impartation and God is going to move. He's going to do something. And this is a night you do not want to miss. We're having our Uproar Talent Show at the Wings of Eagles Warplane Museum. This is going to be May 4th at 6:30 p.m. You're going to be able to support conference. You're going to have a great night with your friends or maybe even a date. And I want to encourage you, you can get your tickets right now via our website, theuproar.org, and make sure you're here with a friend to support conference.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How is everybody doing this phenomenal morning? Come on, give your King of Kings a hand clap. He is worthy of it. Come on, give it to him. Amen, amen. Welcome to our 9 a.m. service. We're so excited you could be with us here. If this is your first time today, can we just see your hand? Just be like really awkwardly up like this. Awesome. Keep those hands up. We have a gift for you. Yeah, come on, give it up for our guest. We're so happy you could be here with us. You're going to have an awesome time. Thank you so much for coming out. Right now, you're getting a gift right now. And inside that gift, you'll see just a few things from us. But more importantly, after service, on this side of the building, we have a guest reception. You can meet some of the pastors on staff, get to know us, have some coffee, have some treats. It will be awesome. We want to just tell you thank you so much for coming out to visit us. We still have some hands up, so let's keep on clapping. That means we have so many guests. That's amazing. I love it. Amen. So after service on this side of the building, we're going to see you guys. Live stream, we love you guys. Come on, give it up for live stream. You are part of our family. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're excited that you're going to be with us and enjoy the rest of the service. So as our video announcements has said, we have Empower Summit this week starting tomorrow night. It's going to be amazing. We actually have one of the guest speakers with us today, Bishop Rick Thomas, our Bishop of the House. It's going to be absolutely powerful. So if you still want to sign up, you can sign up online by the end of tonight. Or if you want to do it tomorrow, you can do it tomorrow at the door as well. All right? And lastly, who is excited for Easter? Come on. Who loves Easter? You have an amazing opportunity to sow into this year's Easter by bringing candy. How easy is that? Go to Walmart, get all your stuff, then go to that candy aisle, load it up with some candy, bring it over to our kids' place, correct? Our kids' check-in place. We'd love to just have that. It's going to be an awesome big egg drop. You do not want to miss that, all right? If you have any other questions about what is going on, we have a bulletin that has all the details of everything going on. So if you do not have one, there's one on the way out, and let's bring up Pastor Rhonda for the offering.
Amen. We just- just want to welcome to the house our family from Texas. We have Texas in the house this morning. Yes, so good to have you with us. It is such a privilege and an honor to bring the word of the Lord to you every week regarding finances. I really understand the word of God when it says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Because as a parent, we take pleasure in the prosperity of our family too. So I understand, and we take pleasure as your pastors in the prosperity of the body of Christ. So there's something that happens, and the enemy of your soul, Satan, wants to make you believe that there are just some people that are destined to be poor and some people that are destined to be rich. So I don't have to really worry about trusting what the Word of God says regarding my finances and tithing because I'm just destined to be poor. Well, we know this is not true because in the Word of God, in Acts 10:34, it says that he is no respecter of persons. Hear me. He is no respecter of persons. And I love the story where the widow woman, she was the poorest of poor. I mean, she was getting ready to eat her last meal and die. But she chose to trust in the Lord and his word. And what happened in an instant? In an instant, she went from poverty to more than enough to pay all of her bills, and she ate until the famine was through. So not just for poverty, though. When we tithe, Malachi 3:10 says, let me make sure, yep, 3:10, says, when you bring the tithe to the storehouse, test me in this and see, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And the next verse says, he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So when we trust the word of the Lord that it is for me and everyone else, he says he will open the windows of heaven and rebuke the devourer. Now you might be in here and say, well, I'm not poor. Well, I have good news for you because an open heaven is something we all want to function under. It is not just regarding finances. An open heaven is his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that means health, restoration, freedom. I love the story in Luke 5, 4, and 7. So if you're a business owner in this house, this is for you too. Peter was a businessman. His business was fishing. He was a fisherman. And when he chose to trust in the word of the Lord, we see, how many of you that are business owners would love to see multiplication in your business? I know we have fresh business in the house, and you'd love to see multiplication. When you trust in the word of the Lord and tithe off of your income, look at what it says. Peter went out to fish, and he'd been fishing all night, and it was just a bad season. You know, it was a down time. There weren't any fish. He was catching nothing. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, cast your nets to the other side. And he said, you know, I don't really understand, but if you've said it, Lord, then I will do it. And when he cast his net to the other side, there were so many fish that came in that net that it multiplied, it began to overflow, and it started to rip. Guess what? He had to call all of his friends from around him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? An open heaven is more than just you. The blessing ends up extending to all your friends. Your business is going to accelerate so much so, you're going to have to call your friends. I just can't take this load. I'm going to need you to take it for me. When you walk in the open heaven blessing of God, it doesn't just bless your life and your family. It becomes blessing to everyone around you. Now, I love kingdom finance. There is nothing better. If you're ready today to participate with Kingdom Finance, with your tithe and your offering, stand to your feet. It's dry up here. I get Mackenzie now. She's drinking lots of water. Yes. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration because, listen, we are not subject to any of the natural realm. So over your giving today, your tithe, your offering, we are believing and declaring the supernatural. So we just repeat Deuteronomy 28. And in this house, we bring our offerings to the Lord joyfully. So if you'll repeat after me and then bring your offering to the Lord, many of you give online and give with your phone, text to give. Just come up and touch the bucket. So let's repeat Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us. Bless the Lord.
Amen. Hold on. Don't leave yet. We've got to sing that one more time. Pastor Dan, if you'll come up here, please. I think everyone needs to see your little dance thing that you were doing. We want to welcome Pastor Santos. He's with us from Texas. Pastor, if you'll stand all the way in the back. Pastor, we love you. All the way from Texas is here for the Empowering Pastors Conference. We have pastors. We have 13. I think you brought 13 up from Houston, Texas. We have pastors coming from Illinois. We have pastors coming from all over. So we just want to, Kentucky, I believe we have a whole crew coming in from Kentucky. And we're just excited. This is a phenomenal week. You don't want to miss it. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This morning, though, and I am so excited because we have the opportunity to, again, introduce and have in the house our bishop. Now, many of you don't know what that is. I want to remind you, you need to join Rock Solid Faith. Turn to someone and say, you need to join Rock Solid Faith. Shout, next steps one. Amen. You need to join. Why? You need to know what you're talking about. It's nothing worse than sitting there and not knowing what you're talking about. So here we have Next Steps 1 is going to cover what's called the fivefold ministry gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher. All five have the same job, and they are to equip, bring to unity, and bring to maturity. And in that, what's so powerful is that the apostle is the one that has the opportunity to flow between all five. And the apostle is the one that oversees works. and also brings order to works. Every church must have an apostle. If you have just a pastor, well, then something's out of order. You have to have the foundation. So every church must have an apostle. And so our house has an apostle. We want you to know that we are in order. Can I hear an amen? From the very beginning of creation, God started bringing order. Everything is about order. Let all things be done decently and in order. And in the house, the apostle brings order without even saying a word. I was saying to the staff this morning that even if Bishop never speaks a word, just him being in the house automatically shifts things in the spirit. Now, for those who don't know anything about the spirit, well, we'll give you a salvation message at the end of service. Glory to God. But if you know, then, you know, to grow in that, you need to be part of Rock Solid Faith. Things are shifting this morning in the spirit just by having our bishop. Now, it's not just Bishop Rick Thomas, but also Pastor Kathy. They are a phenomenal ministry team, and we are blessed to call them as our church. This is His Tabernacle Family Church. We're blessed to call them our pastors. So as His Tabernacle, we have a pastor, and let's welcome, with His Tabernacle's love, our bishop, the bishop to His Tabernacle Family Church, Bishop Rick Thomas.
Let's give the Lord that real praise this morning. Come on. Like you mean it. Wow. Reach over, take hold of someone by the hand. I'm big on this. I like people come to church and, you know, they say, nobody said hi to me. Well, guess what? You're not alone now. Now, give them a little squeeze. I'm looking at you, sir. You look like easy. Don't hurt her hand. Give them a little squeeze. Give them another little squeeze. And one more. See, God is a good God. God loves you. And God wants to bless you. It's important people know that. In the name of Jesus, we welcome your presence, Holy Spirit, in this house. Filling us, not with what the world fills us with, but fill us with kingdom principles. Let the anointing and the power and the glory of thy kingdom be released in every heart and every life. I ask, Father, you anoint my life one more time, that I might be a vessel you will use to bring the word forth that will transform hearts and lives for your glory in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Oh, come on, celebrate one more time before you're seated. My. You may be seated. We're going to move right along because we all have a little time thing this morning. And so I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. Brother Reese, we'll have to talk about that a little bit later on. I just really want, before I preach my message, I want to know what y'all believe. Because if I get up here and preach something and I don't know what you believe, I might preach something that would offend you. Well, you just got to know where you're at, you know. You got to dance with the one who brung you. You know what I'm saying? And so you find out what kind of dance they know. Oh, some of you don't dance. I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, we got one that danced over there this morning. I know that. So I want to do something this morning. You know, we talk about that. How many are, and I'm just curious, how many really know that you have received Jesus and you're a child of God? Wow. Now, my question is, I'm going to now is figure out whether you really know what that means. Is that okay? So I'm going to need some help as we go along the way. So, Reese, I want you to pick some people out for me as I call this out. Number one, I want you to know that in John 1:12, we are called the children of God. As ministry of Jesus, to them gave you power to become the children of God. How many believe the word of God on that? Praise God. You can just stand right here if you would, Cody. Remember, you're representing the children of God. Who are you? Okay, I want to make sure we get that straight. Number two, we understand that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So I need a new creation here. So who are you? I don't want your name. Who are you? Who? And who's he? Okay, and you are? You can see why in a minute. We're going to go through this in a second. Number three, I want somebody to come forward. 1 Peter 1:9, it says we're a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. I need a chosen generation and royal priesthood. Come on, just come on up. Come on, let's welcome her up. She's representing that. Chosen generation, royal priesthood. Oh, isn't that good? Okay. The next thing we need to do is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he who knew no sin took our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I need a righteous person standing up here. My. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we shall be filled with power after the Holy Ghost has come on us, that we might be a witness. I need somebody that will represent being filled with the Holy Ghost, and we will call them empowered. Who are you, ma'am? Okay, and who are you? And you are, ma'am? Don't forget who you are. Okay, let's keep this, because you say this is the body of Christ forgets these things. And I can't teach my message if we don't know these things. Okay, the next thing is we find in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that we are healed by Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. I need somebody to represent a healer. Praise God. I like that because he's got the neon shirt on, so everybody knows healing's on the way. Amen. And then we have in Ephesians in chapter 1, it says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I need somebody to represent blessings. Get me a blesser up here. Somebody represent blessing. And then we have 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, Jesus, who left heaven, relinquished his riches and took on our poverty that we might be made rich. I need somebody to represent riches. Now, what I need you to do, Brother Reese, I want you to take your chair you were sitting in and sit it over here on the corner, because I don't want anybody in that. Because there's one other thing that you learned here when my mentor was here, Dr. John Evazzini, and that is the book of Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, that if you're not a tither, you're cursed. So that chair is going to represent the cursed. Well, we say we're not, but did you know that the majority of the Christians don't tithe? We don't have enough chairs for the people who don't tithe. But now watch this now. We'll come to church because we are
child of God. In the
creation. No, I'll come back to you. Because we are
righteous.
Empowered.
Blessing.
Did you get all those things? But there's only one problem. You can have all of that, but if you don't tithe, you're still sitting in this chair. Do you understand that no matter how well I look, if my pants are split, nobody notices my jacket? Do you understand that? Do you understand that if I'm standing here and my zipper's down? No, we're laughing. Nobody notices what my hair looks like. See, nobody notices that we are chosen and made. If we have our zipper down, you may go sit down. Now you say, well, why would you do that to us? Because I've got to make sure that I'm in the right house. You understand? You have to make sure you're in the right house. Because if we in the church, we have a tendency to say, I believe the word of God. Every word I believe, I just don't do it. And I found out a long time ago, you can believe in a diet, but you can still get fat. I didn't say anything about your jelly beans. See, it's not a matter of what I say I believe in. It's what I do that demonstrates what I believe. Oh, come on. I got six people happy here. We forget in the body of Christ where he says over in the book of Mark there, he says that the sower will sow the word in the fourth chapter. But there's one group that 25% hear the word and Satan immediately steals it. Another group hears the word, but because of the pressure of outside and all the stuff, they walk away from it. The other group hears the word, but they try and misuse it for the wrong purposes and reasons and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness enters in and chokes it. But there's another group, one fourth of them, that receive the word, and of that, they produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. So of the 25% that receive the word, there is one third that will produce 30%, another 60, and the other is 100%, which means that of everybody here, there is 30% that's running this church. There is another percentage that comes alongside when it's something they're good at. See, we don't mind doing what we're good at. We just don't want to do what we're not good at. Of course, you know, I found out as a parent, it didn't matter what I was good at. My baby's diaper had to be changed. Well, don't shout me down. We're going somewhere with this. I thought he was going to preach. I am. Just a minute. Then there's another group, one third, that come along for the ride at their convenience. They hear the word. They believe the word. As long as it's in their convenience, then they'll act on it because they enjoy what they get out of it. But they're not committed to it. So this morning, I want to talk to you about some things. I want to talk about the fact that we don't want to be in that chair. That's for sure. But that doesn't represent just that we don't tithe. It represents that we really say we believe something that we don't do. That's what the empty chair represents. And when the world looks at the church and they hear us say what we believe, but we don't live it, our zipper's down. Our pants are split. Come on, stay with me, church. And we've got to be a people that is going to be, if you will, we're going to be jealous for the things of God. More, we sang the song, more, I want more of you. And I wonder sometimes on Thursday morning if we want more of Jesus. On Friday, I wonder last night when they were celebrating Paddy Day if they wanted more of Jesus or more of the beer. I'm not here judging you. I'm just saying, what do you want more of? And so I want to walk you through some things today. I want to talk to you about 7 keys to maintaining your promise. And we're going to move very quickly with this today. But 7 keys to maintaining your promise. Now, it's important we understand that in Galatians 3:29, it says that if we're in Christ, we're Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. So if I've received Christ and I'm all of these things up here, then it says that I have put myself in a position because I'm in Christ that I am an heir. I have a right to the promise. Tell somebody you have a right to the promise. Now, because of that, he says to us in Genesis 12:1-3, this is where God called Abraham. And I'm not going to go to read a lot of scripture. I'm going to give you the scripture. You can study it later. God comes to Abraham. He says, now, the first thing I want you to do, Abram, is that I want to move you to a place you've never been so you can obtain something you've never done because I want you to be my witness. So you've got to leave everything you know in the past behind. The first act of moving into the promised land is you've got to be willing to let go of the past. Can't get to the future hanging on to the past. And just for a quick note, God doesn't live in the past. He lives in eternity. And he only visits our presence to get us out of our circumstance. We'll talk about that in the conference this week. Genesis 26:12, we find that Isaac sowed in the land during a famine time, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, it's important we see something here, that when Abraham had heard from God, got the blessing of God, and he passed it down in his lineage, that here is Isaac, and Isaac comes along. It's in a time of famine, just like his father went through a time of famine, and God comes to him and says, now listen, even though there's a famine in the land, I want you to stay put. As I was with your father, I'm going to be with you. Look at the person next to you and say, he's living off his father's blessing. And what we don't understand a lot of times is when we look at the local church and we see the pastor is the spiritual father. And a lot of people come to church and they live off his blessing rather than getting theirs. Pastor, can you pray for me? Pastor, can you lay hands on me? Pastor, can I come see you? Pastor, can you give me some time? Pastor, can you come visit me? I need your blessing. Ooh, we're quiet all of a sudden. But when you look at Isaac, and when I get into these things that you keeping your blessing, something happened. Because as Abraham was obedient to God, Isaac became obedient to God too. And it says that he sowed in the time of famine and he reaped a hundredfold. The word a hundredfold doesn't mean he got a hundred for one. It means that his seed yielded full capacity. In other words, whatever that seed had in it, it had to produce everything in it. Now, then it says that he reaped full capacity, a hundredfold. And then it said something very unique. It said, then the Lord blessed him. He went from his father's blessing through his obedience to getting his own blessing. Oh, come on, look at the person next to me and say, obedience is good. Y'all are looking at me like, you know, like a dog licking a new pan. You don't know what to do with me. You don't know whether to eat out of it or do something else to it. But anyway, I didn't say pee. That's something my dad would say. I don't want to offend anybody. I have to be careful. Look what he says over here in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. See, obedience produces blessing. I said obedience produces blessing. And Isaac had to move. Somewhere along the line, while you receive from your father the things you need to learn, you eventually have got to take for yourself, get obedient on your own so you can obtain your own blessing. So we find that, number one, if we're going to walk in that blessing, the first thing we have to do is know our heritage. We have to know where we come from. We have to know that as many as received Jesus, he gave them power to become the sons of God. We have to understand, and we look over in the book of Romans chapter 8, and I want to quickly read something for you there that's important. In chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, indeed we suffer with him that we may also be glorified together. So you've got to know, come on, tell the person next to you, you got to know where you come from. You got to know your heritage. The second thing we find out, that you've got to hear and know God's voice. We know in the book of John, chapter 10, verses 4 and verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice and they know my voice. They know me and they hear and they know my voice. We know that in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, that Samuel, God came to him and spoke to him. He didn't know his voice. He went to Eli. You know why? Because as you're growing in the Lord's going to sound like your pastor. Apostle, evangelist, pastor, right? For what? The equipping of the saints. So God's going to speak through those fivefold gifts, so you learn how God sounds by those gifts. So when God first speaks to you, it sounds like your pastor. So here he goes in, Samuel goes in, he says, Eli, he said, did you call me? He says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. Because Eli, his eyes had grown dim, he was going blind, and the light was going out. The Spirit of God had left the temple. They were getting ready to lose the Ark of the Covenant. And just a few days later, when they had a war, the enemy came in and took the presence of God. And when the enemy takes the presence of God out of your life, you're in trouble. That's why you need a local church. That's why you need a pastor, so you can learn to walk in it yourself, so you can always know where the presence of God is. So he goes back a second time, and he goes back a third time. And finally, Eli says, listen, that's the Lord speaking to you. Say, here am I. Now, it might take you a little while to get it, but you're going to have to learn to develop your spiritual ear to be able to hear the Father's voice. And the way you develop that ear is you let the Father speak to you through the gift that God's put in your life. And as you grow and mature by the gift, you learn how to hear the Father. Praise God. Well, I don't need a pastor. No, you don't. But you won't need to be equipped either. Number three, it says that he learned to obey God's voice. We talked about obedience. John 14, 23. He says that those who love me keep my commandment. So you have to understand, the way we keep our promises, know our heritage, know His voice, obey God's word. Number four, never minimize what you have. We heard the story today out of the book of Kings, chapter 17. The little lady's there. The prophet comes. Now, what's important about this is that the prophet is being kept alive by a raven. He was by a little brook Cherith, and the raven would bring him flesh. I don't know where he got it from, but he'd bring him food. But then one day the brook dried up and the raven didn't show back up. See, sometimes you got to understand what you're doing might be providing today, but it might not be for your tomorrow. That's another story we can come back and teach on change at another time. See, I can't depend on my today to finance my tomorrow. My today is preparing me for my tomorrow, but it's not going to finance my tomorrow. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But we got to see something here. If I don't minimize what I have, then I can get what God wants me to have. We have a story in the book of John, chapter 6, another story. The little boy, loaves and fish. One of the spiritual leaders, one of the disciples, one of the men who had seen signs and wonders and miracles, who traveled with Jesus teaching, he was one of those, said to Jesus, when the little boy had, he's got a boy, loads of fish, he said, but what is that? Be careful when religious leaders begin to question what you have. Jesus said, I already know what I'm going to do before he even talked to them about it. He says, if you go back and read scriptures, he already knew what he was going to do. He was waiting to see where the spiritual giants were going to fall. He took the loaves and fish. He blessed them. And when God blesses what you have, multiplication is inevitable. I said, when God blesses what you have, multiplication is inevitable. Number five. Be willing to release your seed. Luke 6:38, give it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over good measure. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10, he talked about you decide what you're going to give. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. He says, God is able to do all this and make all grace abound towards you to where you be all sufficiency in all things, being a blessing to everyone you come in contact with. Look at the person next to you and say, but it's your responsibility. See, that's another thing. My seed is not about... God will speak to us. Once we learn to hear His voice, He'll speak to us. But once He speaks to us, it's my responsibility. And what we don't understand, God gives seed to the sower. He doesn't give you a harvest. God is not the Lord of the harvest. You are. God is the Lord of the seed. Oh, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. He says, God said to him, to the mankind, he says, you be fruitful, you be multiply, you replenish in the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. That's your responsibility. How are you going to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth? You're going to have to sow seed. You can't produce life without giving life. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's important to understand. When God created, He used His word. What's His word? His word is a seed. The word of God is a seed. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. The word is a seed. God used the word. He said, let there be. When God spoke the word went forth, and the word, coupled with the Holy Spirit, created what we now call earth and mankind. Now, he said something very unique in the book of Psalms, though. He said he created the heavens and the earth. He said, the heavens are mine, but I've given you the earth. And in Isaiah 45, he said this. He said, not only have I given you the earth, but he says, I've given you the earth for you to occupy it. In other words, the earth is our responsibility, not His. I'm getting there. You got to be willing to release your seed. Number six, never allow famine or lack to control your character. I said, never allow character or lack. Never allow famine or control your character. I want to read something to you over in the, as we look at this. Look at Philippians chapter 4. You're all believers in the Word. You've already said that. We talked about some things. We cleared the docket. So let's look over here to the book of Philippians real quick. So I know what you're going to do. My God's supplying. No, I'm not. It's not about supplying all your needs. See, that's another problem. You think God's interested in your needs. He could care less about your needs. He'll supply them to you because you got needs. But God is interested in needs. He's interested in eradicating your needs. He says, I want you to owe nobody nothing but love. I want you to be a giver, not a taker. I want you to be a blesser, not a curser. I want to bless you in your coming in and going out. I take pleasure in your prosperity. Don't tell me God cares about my needs. He wants me to get so blessed I don't have any needs. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't know the Bible. You better know the character of your God. Never allow famine or lack to control your character. Watch this. In chapter 4, verse 11, the book of Philippians, not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. There you go, see? I'm to be content. I don't have a good job. I don't have any money. I have to live on welfare. You don't understand. I'm a mother with 6 kids and no husband. That word content doesn't mean satisfied with the fact that you don't have a husband. Be satisfied with the fact you can't feed your kids. Be satisfied with the fact that you can't pay your bills. That's not what that word means. The word content in the Greek here, it means this. Learn how to be independent of the outward circumstance based upon the work of the Holy Spirit in you. In other words, be content with God in you and don't worry about what's on the outside of you because the God in you will take care of it. You got to know what the word says. Now watch this now. We're not through with that. It even gets better. I know how to be humbled, and I know how to abound. I always love it when people come to me and go, well, I don't believe in abundance, but, you know, we've got to learn to walk in humility. I know, but it says you know how to be humble, but you also know how to live abundantly. They're twins. You know, it's like water and wet. You know what I'm saying? You can't separate them. See, he's saying you've got to learn to put your trust in me so that when you walk in my blessings, you stay humble before me, because humility is not what men think of you, it's what I think of you. The Bible didn't say humble yourself in the hand of God. It said in the hand of man. It said humble yourself in the hand of God. But we teach people, you got to be lowly and you got to act sure that you're so poor and I don't need much and I'm going to dress real conservative because I don't want people to think wrong of me and I got to be careful how I look in front of people. And God's up there going, are you kidding me? God didn't say one word about what Solomon did to the temple. Did you know that when Solomon was king, they had so much silver they threw it in the backyard? Silver and gold was so prevalent. You read your Bible. God has to have a problem with stuff. He says, my problem is your lack of humility, is that your lack of obedience to me. Humble yourself before me. Know that everything you got comes from me. Know that I'm a blesser and not a curser. Know that I'll go before you and make the crooked path straight. Know that I'll make you the head and not the tail. Know that I'll bless you coming in and going out. Know that I take pleasure in your prosperity. But don't forget, it's me, not you. I'm always fascinated with people who try and put the spotlight on them. Look how I'm living. No, let's look how God wants you to live. We're not done here. Watch this now. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to... In other words, I don't complain. Had a bad day. Well, I got a good day coming tomorrow. God kept me all day long. Hallelujah. Praise God. He never left me. He never forsook me. God's on my side. Who can be against me? Praise God. God's not through with me yet. I still have a future ahead of me. I got destiny in front of me. Praise God. I can't help what happened today, but I'm excited about tomorrow. Oh, wait a minute. Not done yet. Lean not to all these things. I do not in all these things... through Christ who strengthens me. Or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, I can be a child of God. You understand what that means? I can be an heir of salvation. I can be righteous. I can be a chosen generation. I can be blessed. I can be healed, and I can be rich. Only 6 people. What is wrong with you? David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. You better learn how to walk in what God has for you and don't make the kingdom suffer because you don't want it. I had a couple tell me one time, they said, our bills are paid. Our house is paid. We got everything we need. It would be a travesty for us to take this message you teach on being blessed and ask God to bless us more than this. I thought to myself, and I looked at them, and they said, we just want you to know that. And they were leaving my church. And they said, we're going to leave the church. We're going to go to a place that we can live this life. I said, great. But know as you leave, there are thousands of people going to hell because of you. And they said, excuse me? I said, because every dollar that you don't need that you could give to the kingdom will be a soul saved. So take it with you, but take in your consciousness, because I can tell that your character is a little skewed when it comes to the kingdom. Take in your consciousness, because you can't have a righteous consciousness because you don't want to do what God called you to do and bless the kingdom and support the gospel and lead people to Christ. So take with you and take the guilt conscious, knowing every day of your life somebody else went to hell because you refused to let God bless you. Ooh, we got another seven people clapping. We're moving along now, buddy. I'm on a roll. Number seven, learn to expect a harvest. I don't give to get. I do. Not because I chose to. You see, here's the funny thing. Let me pick somebody here. I got to pick somebody out. We have a teenager that's like 18, 19 years old. No, not you. You've already been up here. Where's he at? Wait, I don't see him. You better get down. I need you to come down right now. I need a teenager right now. All right, right here in the front, white top. He's not coming. Right, he's going to wish he came in just a minute. Come here, buddy. Come here. Here's the deal. Come up here. Stand with me. I'm Bishop Rick Thomas. How was your name?
Cole.
Great. How old are you?
17.
See, God is prejudice. Look how tall he is. When I get to heaven, you're going to be my height. I'm going to be yours. Just thought I'd point that out. He'll give me the desires of my heart. But anyway, see, you don't know me. But I think pastors can tell you that I'm a man of my word, okay? So if I tell you something, I'm going to do it, okay? So what I want to do is I'm going to give you $100. Now you wish you'd come, don't you? Mama's going to deal with you later, boy. But anyway, there's only one thing. You got to believe it. Do you believe it?
I believe it.
Well, why don't you take it? Sit down. Write this down. A promise is the declaration of assurance that is totally dependent upon the character and the integrity of the one making it. A promise is the declaration of assurance that is totally dependent upon the character and the integrity of the one making it. If you are to be the recipient of a promise, you must trust the one that made it. In other words, you have to believe in order to receive. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The shifting that your pastor talked to you today about is something that's been in my spirit for over a month now. That this church has got to make their shift. This community, this region of the world, religiously has fought against the blessings of the Lord on every case. They have no problem begging for money, but to tell you, you shouldn't expect God to bless you so you can give what you're supposed to give. And there's a shifting. God is raising up a standard at his tabernacle. of a people unlike any that they've ever seen. And I'm here to make a challenge to you today that we take this church into another level. A level that we have never been. And this church can't go to another level till you look at the person next to you and say, now he's talking to you. Until you are willing to move yourself to another level. In 1999, we had a man that embezzled $1,900,000 out of our building fund account. He's serving 17 years in jail right now. Nonetheless, the money was gone. There was a lot of people involved, and we didn't know what to do. We spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on legal fees to try and recoup some of this back from the bank and from the title deed people and all that were involved. 9 years, and nothing happened. To the point that I was so frustrated, and we lost a lot of people because when we lost that, he embezzled it. Who do they blame? I'm it. Only when he got put in jail did people apologize, but they never came back to church because they were in. Because I had people, they run to go, we're so embarrassed, we can never come back because we really thought you were guilty. We find out now you're not. And I get it. I get it. And I just loved them, prayed for them. I don't worry about that. But we went through now almost 10 years of hell. And I'm down praying, and I said, God, you got to take this burden from us. I don't know what we're going to do. I need to get with my board. We got to close this thing out and just forget about it. And my wife and I were praying, and God spoke to me. It was on an end of the year, end of December, getting going to our New Year's Eve offering. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, if you want to recover all, then I'm going to have you do something that is going to move you and your wife to another level. When you move to the next level, the church will move to its level and they will recover all. Sounds good, doesn't it? And yeah, wait, if they're talking first, you might not like it. When we got to that place and we're praying, God said, I want you to go to your retirement account and pull $25,000 out and sow the seed. I said, God, is there another way to recover this thing? I mean, I'm a tither, I'm a giver, but, you know, $25,000. At that time, we've done more since then, but at that time, I'd never given that kind of thing. We did what God, musicians, you can come. We did what God told us to do, New Year's Eve night. 5 days into the new year, I got a phone call. It was the bank, and the bank says, listen, we're tired of dealing with this thing, and we want to get our books closed out, so we got a new audit that's coming in. And so what we would like to do is we want to make you an offer because they were on the hook for $1 million. And they said, will you settle with us for $800,000? If you don't, then our lawyers said we just tied up for another 3 or 4 years. But would you settle? I said, give me $850,000 and we'll settle. So in 5 days, I had $850,000 come back into the account. 3 days later, I get a phone call from a man who had moved away from our church, that when he was in our church, God had me give a prophetic word into his life and into his family and about some things in his business. And he did what God told him in that prophetic word. And he developed a company that he had been away for almost eight years he'd been gone. And he came back and he said, can we go to lunch? And I said, sure, we can go to lunch. He says, my partners and I sold the company. There's four partners. He said, we sold the company for $80 million. And he says, you know, we go to church where we're at and all of that stuff. But he said, my wife and I said, we cannot let this go by. So we wanted to come down and take you to lunch, and we just wanted to let you know that we appreciate your ministry and when you spoke to us and how it prophetically compelled us into this incredibly successful thing. And he pushes an envelope across the table, and I go, well, thank you, because I didn't want to look weird, you know, in front of him. He goes, ooh, I didn't want to do that. And you know, and he said, you might want to open that. I said, oh, okay. You know, you want to open it, but you don't because you ever been in those kind of situations, you know, open a gift, don't open a gift. What? So I opened it up. It's a check for $560,000. After the weekend passed, I get a phone call from a gentleman in our church, and he says, you know, my wife and I, we've been praying about it. We have a business, a very successful business, and we've been putting money aside in our nonprofit corporation. And God spoke to us this weekend and said, what are we doing? We should give that to the church. So here's a check for $100,000. I had another gentleman that was in our church who had been a paraplegic. He got an accident and a motorcycle accident when he was 18 years old. Been a paraplegic for, he lived till he was 34 years old and he passed away. It didn't look like he ever had anything or anything like that. I get a call from the lawyer and he says, I don't know how to tell you this, but we just closed out his estate and Bill left the church $100,000. In less than 10 days, we had $1,800,000+ back in our hands. Because I had to do something I'd never done, Pastor, and I'm going to try and get through this real quick here. We started Abundant Life Christian Center 40 years ago. My dad started it. He started with 11 people. His first offering was $14. He said, it's a long story. I won't go through all that. My dad had been raised up. He'd been healed. He had four heart attacks. God totally healed him, restored his heart, restored everything. My mom had tumors and things. They had to remove that and went through all the operation for all of that. God totally healed her, healed him. After so many years, put him back into ministry. Here he is, 59 years old. God says, start the church. He's financially broke because back then you didn't have insurance. He's living in a townhouse that I'm paying for because I'm a youth pastor and they're living with me and they can't afford it. Their car had 140,000 miles on it. So if they went out of town, they had to borrow my car. And God calls him back into ministry. So he goes, he gets $14. He says, we can't do this. We're trying to get a room or something like that to get started. And so he went down to a little loan place because he didn't have credit at the bank, but he went to one of these Fidelity loan places that loan you money at high interest rate. And he borrowed $1,000. And they took the first payment back on the way out the door. But he used it to start the church. Took it in and said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't have any money. This is the only thing I qualify for. But you told me to start this church. You healed my wife. You healed me. You told me to start $14. I'm going to do it. We need to get this thing started. And so we give it to you, and we believe you to bless it. The first year that the church was in place, it grew exponentially. And if offerings for the first year were $99,990. Say, why are you telling me this? Because you've got to do something that will change your destiny. We talked about all of these things. First off, you need to be a tither or you shouldn't even listen to my message. And if you aren't, then you need to make a commitment. You're going to start tithing. The second thing is, though, you realize that the way I move into this promise and make sure that the promise stays real to me is I do the blessing. And the blessing is walking in obedience. And the obedience is you've got to go and do something you've never done in order for God to move in behalf of you for something he's never released. It's important you understand that. So we are going to take an offering this morning. So why are you going to do that? I don't need the money. Look at me. Bishop Rick, tell him he don't need any money. No, tell him. You didn't tell him. You tell her. I don't need your money. You don't believe that, do you? She's looking at me like, I don't believe that. Huh? My house is paid for. My car is paid for. My retirement's set. My daughter's house is paid for. My son's gotten his house. We have the privilege, my wife and I, on a personal basis now, because we've written books and travel, and we're able to do that. We give in excess of $100,000 a year in the kingdom. I'm not bragging. I'm humbly. I'm trying to take you someplace. The offering we're going to take today is going to be about missions. I have 176 kids in Thailand that we feed and clothe in the orphanage. Kids whose parents have died of AIDS, or we've rescued out of trafficking, and they can't go back to their villages, or they'll go back and get them again. And so we have to supply for that. And so we supply for that. But here's what I found out. When you begin to sow into missions, he says, when you sow for the sake of the gospel, expect full capacity back, a hundredfold return. And I found out that every time we've done this offering and we've done it this way, that the people who've gotten a hold of this thing and been able to see the picture and move into that with us because it's good ground to sow in for souls to be saved, that they now tap into the anointing that now becomes an exponential anointing into your life, that like it flowed through our lives, and get ready for it to take place. See some things you've never seen. Do some things you've never done. Go some places you've never gone. Help some people you never thought you could help. But it comes to that place. When I sowed that seed, not only did everything happen in the as far as our church was concerned, everything was returned, but all of a sudden now my wife and our lives and our blessing and our anointing and our giftings went through the roof. So I don't stand here today saying, I want you to give an offering to me. Look at the person next to you and say, he don't need yours. But you need to sow a seed. But you need to sow the seed, but we're going to do it for the sake of the gospel. It'll go into the seed of harvest. You're going to clothe the naked. You're going to feed the hungry. You're going to take care of the widow's kids. I don't take a salary from seed of harvest. You can ask my accountant. I haven't taken a salary since it started. He's come to me and says, you need to take a salary out of seed of harvest. I'm not taking a salary out of seed of harvest. It was established to win souls. So I can come in places like this when I can take up offerings. I can guarantee you that money doesn't go in my account. It goes into that ministry account, and it's going to touch souls. It's going to change lives. It's going to transform people. But I do know this. If you believe a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. I do believe this, that God puts people, places, and things under the anointing of a father figure. And when you listen to the Father, he sounds like the true Father. And when you walk in obedience to the Father that God has placed over you, then God will let you walk in obedience to his voice. So, well, I don't believe that. Really? How old are you? 55. How long have you been in business? 30 years. What did you do before you did that? Screwed off. Okay. And then what did you do before you screwed off? You were in the service. What did you do before you were in service? Did you go to high school, college? High school. Did you go to elementary school? So did it prepare you for anything? Oh, I see. So when you learned from the voices along the way, now at 55, you now can hear for yourself. I see. It's called development. You develop your spiritual self. You develop your physical self. You develop your mental and soulish self. And some of you need to start the development today. I'm going to ask you to handle envelopes quickly, if you would, please. Does everybody have an envelope? I want everybody to take an envelope. Say, well, I'm not going to give anything. I don't care. Take an envelope. It's nice. Soft. Glory to God. Glory to God. We've raised our children this way. And because of that, It's amazing. They're working in the ministry. They're on a minister's salary, but God has blessed them in so many other areas. My daughter has gone through a part of her testimony. She went through a divorce. I won't go through the details of it, but it was a tragedy. She has three children. She's a single mom. She's working at the church for us on a salary that I give her. But it really isn't something she can maintain the kids with because she's got three children. But she's faithful. She's a tither. She's a giver. Every time we do something, she's sowing the seed. This past year, she was contacted by a national organization. They said, we really like what you're doing. Would you come talk to us? Sure. They talked to her. They said, you write some things for us? She said, yeah. She wrote the thanks for it. They said, man, we really like this stuff. Would you like to come to work for us? She says, no. She said, will you work one day a week for us? Sure. We want you to write a book. Really? What's it for? We want you to write a book about a women's thing. Because the national is called ULA. The organization is ULA. And they have anywhere from 5,000 to 15,000 in their conferences all over the United States. They get these stickers, get people with a sticker to write a dream on a sticker, and they put it on a thing. So my daughter said, she says, well, I want some of those stickers. They said, how many want? She says, give me 10,000. They laughed at her, said, okay. So I gave her 10,000. She went to Nicaragua, came back and gave them 8,000 of them back with dreams. They said, are you kidding me? We've been 6 months and only have 80,000 names. You've got a tenth in a week. We need to talk to you. We don't have a lady on our thing. We need a lady as a face of ULA. So we're going to hire you one day a week, and we're going to ask you to go to conventions and speak, and we'll pay for you, and we'll cover all your expenses. And we want you to write a book. And by the way, the people who did Chicken Soup for the Soul, they're the ones that promoted their books, and their books are number one sellers. And they said they're the ones that are going to promote your book. And we're going to give you the royalties off the book because we need your face. We're going to call it the Heather Project. She went online for her first time 2 weeks ago to talk to all the people from Ula. In the first, when she went online, 55,000 people responded. Say, what are you saying to me? Because she's a giver. We want to sit in our chair that's cursed. We want to come to the pastor and live off his blessing. And we want to miss the destiny that God has for us. I made up my mind, that promise, if any man's in Christ, he's Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise. That promise is mine. Blessed am I coming in and going out. I'm a blessing to everyone I come in contact with. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm not going to live off somebody else's blessing. Come on, tell somebody, I want my blessing. And I want you to write across that envelope, my blessing. Over a little bit, Pastor, I'm sorry. My blessing. Yeah, bring the baskets up. Right across that thing, my blessing. You can write a check, write it to His Tabernacle. They'll write a check to Cedar Harvest for the ministry. That way you know it's not coming to me. They'll write it to our ministry. They'll confirm all that for you. But I'm going to ask you to sow a seed that's going to move you. See, for me back then, if I would have given $100, it wouldn't have moved me and it wouldn't have moved God. But when He told me to give $25,000, all of a sudden my life changed. It was huge. I mean, it was huge. You're supposed to leave an inheritance for your children's children, and I felt like in some ways I was taking some stuff out of my grandkids' lives. But look what God has done. We've replaced that so many times over, it's almost frightening. And I want to take this church. There's a shifting. I said, there's a shifting. It's my blessing. Turn the envelope over and write, it's a shifting. You can do credit card, make your check payable, make it to His Tabernacle. No, do not make it to me. Do not make it to my ministry. Make it to Him. The church will write that check. We're under the total covering of your church and your leadership. But I want you to sow a seed that's going to move you today in such a dimension that the shifting has no choice but to take place now. See, I could have given seed and had the harvest come. But when God told me to show the seed that I sowed, it expedited things. Because when it moves you, it causes God to move quicker. Amen. Everybody got it? Let's all stand. Father, I declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I ask, Father, that as they sow a seed, there will be a supernatural release in their lives that's beyond their wildest imagination. That, Father, it will be a seed that this church is going to be so blessed that they will help finance other ministries in this area. So blessed that people will hear from the north, the south, the east, and the west the supernatural hand of God upon this congregation. I pray three things over this congregation. Number one, I pray souls will be saved as never before in this congregation. The heirs of salvation from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Number two, I declare supernatural manifestations of glory and power for miracles beyond measure. The lame will walk, the blind will see, diseases will dissipate. I declare miracle working power in this church. And number three, I declare a supernatural blessing and prosperity to come on every family and every life, that when they walk through the doors of this church will become a place that they will be able to send out across the nation and around the world for souls to be saved because they are blessed beyond their measure. I decree it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you would just bring your offering forward, please.